Hi everyone, welcome to Dev Propulsion Labs, our podcast about the business of developer tools. I'm your host, Victoria Melnikova. I'm the head of new business at Evil Martians. I'm excited to introduce today's guest. Today we have a birthday boy, Abhi Iyer, CTO and co-founder at Mastra.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, and thanks for this cake.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. 34 years young.
34 and going strong.
Yeah. In DevTools age, that's old as
It's an exciting year for you, though.
It's been pretty wild.
It's been pretty,
pretty freaking wild this year.
So just last week, you guys hosted TypeScript AI Conf, which was your first user conference for Mastra. How did it go?
It was super stressful last week. There was just so much to do. We didn't hire like conference team or whatever. So all of us were like packing bags. I didn't pack any bags, but like other people did. Packing bags for the t-shirts and all the swag.
Yeah.
Running around with their heads cut off. But then once we got there, everything kind of like came to place. Some of our speakers were late.
Yes.
And then we had to like move the schedule around. But everyone came on time and everything went well. And then people said they had a great time. So I think it was a success.
I mean, beyond all the conference preparations, you also launched a book. You did a rebrand. What else? Like what are some important announcements that you made?
I think four or five or something. We didn't want it to be like a Mastra show for the whole conference. Yeah. So we just took it from the keynote and we released a bunch of stuff, released our 1.0 beta. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of shaping Mastra up to be like more formal and less breaking and shit like that. Then we released this thing called the UI Dojo. It's just our commitment. We've got some people throwing shade that we don't want to like be compatible with the UI frameworks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or we're not very well compatible. Mm-hmm. So that we published the UI Dojo. It's a thing that essentially is like more of like a promise to everyone involved that we can keep making this stuff work with any UI library. Mm-hmm. Then we released a new brand. We have like a new agent logo, which is this, or that's our Mastra logo. And then, so it's like an M. And then we have an agent logo, which is, people are calling it the Splat. Mm. I don't know how much I like that yet. And then a new design system that goes along with that.
Yes.
And then, And then, we also launched that we're going to do another Mastra-based conference in April.
Nice.
So that's for more of the community, like true community members. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mastra's marketing since the beginning has been very much community-focused, right? So Shane and Sam and you and other folks at Mastra have been doing a lot of educational work as to how to build agents. And the book that Sam wrote, you guys released and based a lot of your marketing on is about, it's the principles of building AI agents, right? So this educational layer that Mastra sits on is very important for your adoption, for 100%. The open source adoption.
I think with any framework that's operating in like a new tech space.
Yeah.
Or like a language or whatever, education is like a pillar,
you know,
documentation as well. Like a good parallel is like when GraphQL came out or any of these new like language paradigms or tech things or whatever. There's a whole bunch of people who are not working in this stuff at all. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be here in a couple of years. And then there are people who are starting who don't necessarily need education because they're, you know, like they're trailblazers or whatever.
Yes.
They're not the ones who it really matters for. But AI is moving so fast where the trailblazers are going and then the people who aren't going to come to the product yet are already here. And so education is like that missing gap. So we do workshops, we do the book, you know, YouTube videos, all this stuff, right? And it's really important. It used to be like you'd be like an education course platform type of person to do all this. But now I think if you're building a dev tool, you have to do it as well.
So it does reflect on the open source conversion because you're teaching people it's basically grassroots marketing where you teach them from scratch how to build AI agents using TypeScript. How does that convert to paying customers too?
The book has been so crazy because it goes viral.
Yes.
And people that are not even using JavaScript are liking the book. So that's cool. Then there are people who work at big companies that aren't even in San Francisco. They'll go to like some convention or whatever, they'll find the book because we're doing all that guerrilla marketing stuff. And so these big names are coming from into the funnel from the book. Like Monster itself being good is like a secondary from their into the funnel. So that's one side. And then the developers are finding the framework and the book is auxiliary, right? Yes. They're finding the framework and then the education is auxiliary. So it's kind of interesting. It's coming from both perspectives. Mm-hmm.
I recently went to TEDAI in San Francisco, and it's not a typical developer conference for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It's something that's, I would say, more enterprisey. And of course, I saw a stack of your books there, which makes total sense, you know? So now you launched the second book. Is that, does it cover new things, more complex things? Is it the next step for the first one?
We wanted to write the second book because the principles were essentially all the primitives of AI engineering, like what it, and it'll always change, I'm sure. But it's like the base level introduction of like, what is AI engineering compared to software engineering traditionally or whatever? And what are these like new concepts that people need to know? Because there's all these new concepts and people make new words all the time.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be some type of dictionary, right?
Yeah.
The second thing is you start playing with these tools. And then the next beautiful question that we get asked is, how do I do this thing? Like, okay, I know what an agent is, but like, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to like read my emails and then synthesize like follow-up reports and all this stuff. Once you have all the Lego blocks, you need to figure out how to put them together. And that's what the second book is called, Patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pretty much just like recipes, I would say, like is the best way of putting it. Like just different strategies on what you should be doing.
Interesting.
It still isn't very like opinionated on like how you do it.
Yeah.
But they're just more like methods.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I was lucky to sit at the master table at the after party after the conference. And we talked a bit about like how people are using the master and what is their first experience like. At Evil Martians, we've had customers who try to optimize time to value within the product. And I think it's especially relevant for new tools, AI tools, because when you come into an empty product and you don't understand the slang words that, you know, the new terms that are industry-wide, how do you even like understand what's going on, you know? So understanding those principles and having those recipes, as you said, is instrumental to people being successful with Master, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that it's important for you to optimize onboarding and developer experience and all of those things? Like, do they actually matter?
They're as important as Master itself. The documentation, getting started, even all the guides, any written content is as equal as like a bug fix, right? Like they are so important because we get roasted on our docs all the time from the community. Like most DevTools founders hate writing docs.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it too. But you got to think about it like this. And this is how it made me feel okay about it, that I never care about documentation when people bitch at us for documentation. If your documentation is good, that's one less person that has to talk to you about anything. Yeah. One less GitHub issue, one less thing in the whole cycle of management. And you're just being mad about docs, dude. Like, just fix the docs so they never have to talk to you about it. Also, when people like complain about features or like bugs or whatever, one person, maybe it's a coincidence, right? Mm-hmm. But if multiple people be saying the same thing,
maybe you should fix that.
Yeah, maybe you should fix that so then you don't have to talk to them again.
Yeah.
So just optimize for not talking to people. Yeah. That's what I do.
That's good. Do you ever take it personally?
No.
Like when people roast Master or docs or whatever it is?
I don't take it personally anymore. Like, because this is not my first rodeo, right? I don't take it personally, but I also try to understand where they're coming from. Like, why are they so mad about something? Because like, you got this for free.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like I wanted the bug there. Yeah. I think they think that I wanted the bug. Like, I purposely wrote this bug for you so you would come and yell at me. And then when I start thinking like that, that's how ridiculous that sounds. Yeah. I don't take it personally.
Yeah.
There's like so much weird stuff in dev tooling and like social media and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this thing where they're like, oh, if you have great marketing, you probably have zero bugs and you're probably a perfect product. And you're like, because you have this traction, you're so perfect. And when you're not, you break their understanding or expectation. They're like, oh, well, look at these guys. You know, they don't have any marketing, but they don't have the same bug. It's like, that's not how it works, right? You move fast and, you know, there's just things you have to improve all the time.
So Master appeared when the AI wave just started. Let me put it like this. Like, you graduated YC
March.
In March.
Yeah.
So in March, you raised the seed round too, right? So you are like ahead of the curve almost. Do you feel that pressure? Like, do you feel market pushing you to move as fast as possible? Like, if not for this trend, like if Maestro happened 3 years later, would you take the same approach?
So moving fast, we call it at Maestro, we call it making moves, right? Like mm-hmm. making moves is our number one principle. Mm-hmm. So whether it's AI or anything, like that is the number one thing, is to move quickly.
Yep.
And then we move quick. You ship something that's mediocre that you probably are embarrassed of. Iterate, iterate, make perfect. And that itself, that is the 3-year journey, is yeah. to do that. Yeah. You know? And then you have to, you know, catch things at the right times, et cetera. For us, we got super lucky because we were not building an AI in 2024, but we were adjacent to people who were like in big SaaS companies. And like there's a dude at every SaaS company that's like the explorer, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they're a principal engineer or whatever. And I know a couple that their job at the big company is to just explore stuff and like mm-hmm. tinker, you know, he's a tinkerer. Which I guess is why they call it AI tinkers. Met them. They're like, hey, have you seen GPT, dude? It's pretty sick. I'm like, yo, show it to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're working on some pet projects here, which will never get produced and never get shared on Twitter. Yeah. They're not allowed to. So you have to know people.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, this AI stuff's pretty cool. Like, you should play with it. Mm-hmm. We wanted to build an AI product as well. We were struggling heavily just doing it with the confidence and accuracy.
Yeah.
We're using all types of tools.
Yeah.
And we also were trying to learn things as we go.
Yeah.
And when we kind of came to the point where we need to write a framework for this, because mm-hmm. this like the landscape for this sucks. We fortunately got into YC at the AI agents batch, essentially.
Yes.
And that's how it feels like, oh, it started when AI agents suck. Because yeah. YC was like, this is the batch for all the agents. And then boom. And then Sam Altman's like, year of agents. And it's 2025, yeah. just starting. So it feels like we were there right at the right time.
I mean, it sounds wild. And I had Sam previously on my podcast and we talked about the batch kind of cross-pollinate each other. You would basically sit with other YC founders and talk about, okay, try Mastra, try mm-hmm. to build something with it and get feedback from real people trying to use it right away.
So this is this is some insider baseball here. This is my perspective of what happened during YC to us. Because we're old as hell.
Yeah.
Me and my co-founders are old. And there are other people that are old too. Mm-hmm. So we weren't alone or anything. But the first day of YC, like we just sat at this, like they have a cafeteria. Like it's like Hogwarts, you know, like there's a big hall and you're sitting there, you're just chilling. And it's just funny because like everyone was like, people started talking to each other.
Yeah.
But the thing that they were saying in the like first day is like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm from Stanford, you know, like. Where are you from? Oh, yeah, coming in from Yale. How's it going? And then we're just sitting in the back not talking to anyone because, like, all these, like, younger people are just, like, fraternizing yeah. about, like, oh, yeah, I'm 24, just got up from Meta. It's like, okay, cool. And then they put us in these, like, groups of, like, companies that are in the similar, like, space. So yeah. we are in the dev tools section.
Yeah.
But everyone in the dev tools section was, like, an adult. And we had a couple, like, Gen Z kids or like 21 mm-hmm. year olds, but everyone was like 30 plus. Many people had children. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they put us there on purpose, you know, because they're all the old people together. But that was really good because we are all, most of those guys were like first time founders.
Yeah.
And they have kids.
Yes.
And you know how that, like having a kid is a startup in itself, right?
Yes.
And that's already stressful. And then you're in YC, which is even stressfuler, yes. and then raising money and, mm-hmm. So, like, it was nice to be in a group like that. We also had a lot of experience, both life. And my co-founders have children. We've done startups before. So that was a really good friendships we were able to build.
I've heard the sentiment that YC batches are getting younger and younger. It used to be college graduates or dropouts. Now it's high schoolers. I mean, the technology allows for that, right? You can build... The barrier to entry is much lower now yeah. for building anything. Mm-hmm. And with Maestro, you're also enabling people to build like applications and different things, you know, with agents like super early.
Yeah.
It's one thing to come to YC with zero experience. It's another thing to come as a seasoned dev tool builder.
Yeah.
Was it still as insightful for you?
Before YC started and before we even got in, Maestro was not the Maestro that we wrote. It was like this really N8N style agent builder thing that honestly OpenAI has that right now, which is really funny. And it looks like that maybe that was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, we asked a bunch of friends and enemies. You got to ask your enemies too. So we asked our friends and enemies what they thought. And all of them said, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's cool.
That's not what you want to hear.
That's not what you want to hear. You want to say, you want to hear actual feedback, like they hate it or
look
where you're going, but, you know,
yeah.
If they just say, like, that's cool, that really just means go f*** yourself. It's like when I hate when people thumbs up my messages too. It's the same. You couldn't say yes, dude. You didn't have the ability to just type three letters. You had to give me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Same vein. So I was like distraught.
Yeah.
As you could tell. But then I was thinking, like, why do they hate this? They didn't give me feedback. I had to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What about them and this don't make sense? All of these people that we talked to, they wanted a control of the code.
Yeah.
And they didn't like N8N. They didn't like Stacked or whatever the hell those products are. And they mentioned in conversation that they don't know about, like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. So that gave us like the inspirations, like, hey, maybe we should just say, screw this. Let's go full code, full control and see what happens. And then it actually worked, you know, mm-hmm. That was kind of the vibe. And then it was because it was JavaScript and it was actually good JavaScript, unlike, you know, some people, but like, and then things went from there.
Why do you choose TypeScript?
We're TypeScript builders since forever, our whole careers. So Gatsby was in TypeScript and then now this.
And TypeScript fits perfectly for the job, or there's some things that are not ideal?
TypeScript fits perfectly for the job. What we realized at the time was at first that when the Python devs were using AI, my JavaScript brain was like, oh, snap, there's probably some magic stuff in Python land that allows them to do this stuff. Because traditionally, ML and all these things have been like only libraries available on Python with certain like architectures for the computer, you know?
Yes.
But then I looked into all this stuff and it's like, you're making an HTTP call to OpenAI. Okay, this doesn't need to be any, this could be anything, right? It's just it's an API call. So from that perspective, like, that was super validating. Like, there's nothing special here but an HTTP call. JavaScript developers already do HTTP calls. And we have better packages for a lot of stuff. Like, why don't we write this there?
Why do you think Python is so popular for AI?
I think it's just the history, right? Hmm. Like, data science, big data, all that stuff was always written by Python devs. And just that's how everything kind of escalated.
Mm-hmm.
Web applications and application development has increasingly gone into other non-Python stuff, right?
Yeah.
I remember when I started, like, Django was this cool
shit.
I'm not trying to hate on Django, and Flask was tight. And people were building full stack apps with Python, and you just get some index.html and you're good to go. But then, as we know, Rails is way better, right? Shout out there. But Rails is way better because it's like a framework of like, it's an application framework in Ruby, right? And that has all these primitives that you need. Okay, cool. And then Node has all the server frameworks that exist there. So it's not like we reinvented anything. We just brought calling HTTP calls in TypeScript land now.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think that like as AI evolves and grows, there's going to be a variety of things? Like, is it going to be still Python dominated, or there's room to.
So as of last week, TypeScript's the most popular language on GitHub, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but it's just interesting because that's like a rise, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe there'll be some metrics on like how many agents are built in TypeScript versus Python. I bet you right now it's very much Python.
Mm-hmm.
So that might increase.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty is like any web developer listening or out there using React, you'll soon be using all this AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be, you'll be building agents, no problem. And many people will forget that Python was a dominant thing because TypeScript's already here. So you don't really care.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, let's talk about YC again. So you graduated YC, then you did a round and you did an interesting thing. You did a really big cap. You had 120 plus people participate in your fundraise. Why is that? Like, was it difficult to orchestrate? And you had some people like Paul Graham and, you know,
we had
Guillermo and like all the DevTool stars.
So when we were doing the raise, we all, like me and my co-founders, we all asked ourselves, like, why are we doing a company? And we were like, hey, let's just write down three things. Like, why are we doing this? And like, what's the goal? Right. So for me, I wrote down, I want to work with my friends. I want to make moves on anything. And I want to get rich. James, I'm not going to say his, but his funniest one, he's like, he wants to be the richest guy in South Dakota. That's a good goal.
You know? It's not hard to do, probably. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
He's not there yet. You know? And then making moves is like love of the game, right? Yeah. Like, I love doing this stuff. Making money, that's like a byproduct of it.
Yeah.
Working with my friends, that's definitely what I wanted to do. And that, and when we looked at all of our goals, it was like, wow, we're all like very aligned on this.
Yeah.
In our past, we've had bad experiences with different people. And we're all builders, and we were about to go on this whole campaign about builders need to be in TypeScript, builders. Yeah. So we thought, like, we should raise all of our money from builders.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't write a lick of code in your life, you don't shouldn't talk to us or give us money or anything. So then we tried to do a crazy coalition round, like it's usually called party rounds.
Yeah.
We did the coalition round, got every, you know, your favorite founder type of founders in there. And yeah, that was a lot of it. And then we did get a lead investor through Gradient Ventures. They gave us some cash, but then everyone else is pretty much founders. And or like, you know, the like Orange Collective was a huge reason we got started. And mm-hmm. they're like a YC, like series seed and series A type company or investors.
Mm-hmm.
So it all came like two people who are in the same mindset as us.
Yes.
And our cap table definitely reflects it. So
yeah.
It wasn't because we lucked into it. It was definitely like a choice.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to get easier to raise from builders as you grow?
Probably not, but we can try, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to do like a Series A from all builders.
I mean, possible. It is possible. Yeah.
Anything's possible in the Valley.
So you're talking about working with your friends, and I know that you brought a few people from Gatsby over to Mastra that are also your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe like a perfect Mastrarian? Who is that, like your perfect coworker?
A Mastrarian. We got to work on what that is. I don't even know what to call this. A perfect Mastrarian is someone who cares deeply about what they're doing, who can talk and take it and give it back, because we're all shooting the shit all the time, and you know, nothing serious from mm-hmm. that perspective. Who can roll with uncertainty?
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot in our business, you know. And then preferably someone who enjoys like everybody else. When I started recruiting the team, it was very much like people that had relationships with me.
Yeah.
And like I had like a network here and then a network here, and then I brought them both into the company.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing you have to do is make sure that they link up.
Yes.
But hopefully, if you've been making friends properly, that stuff can take care of itself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Building the culture that way has been super easy because all these people already know each other through mm-hmm. this big network diagram where I'm the connector.
Yeah. You know?
And we've hired people's brothers who are also solid. And then that's easier, like the whole family tree or whatever, you know?
So once again, as you grow, you know, your network is going to be at capacity at some point. Yeah. Are you worried about how Mastra is going to change? It's something that you're not even thinking about at this point, and when it comes, it comes.
I am worried about it, 100%. I still have like 8 more people on my current list, so that's pretty good. Until then, or then we'll be screwed, right? But then also, I'm already recruiting
mm-hmm.
in the sense that the way I recruit is just meet really talented people
yep.
and not try to recruit them and then see if the stars align. I, you know, I do all this friendship posts and stuff. Those are all recruiting, you know, at some level. It's all recruiting because if you want to work with me, then you got to know who I am. I'm not some like exec guy. I'm me. You know, I have my temperaments as well. You got to know who I am because we're about to go into the freaking dungeon and like code for hours. Like we got to be cool with this. So that's been really good. So I met a lot of like young people, people who are still at big companies. And I don't push them at all. Just like, hey, what are you working on? Sick. If you need anything, let me know. And then see how it goes. I don't know how it goes. I'm not recruited yet. but we're just throwing feelers everywhere.
It's so cool, and I would say unusual for a CTO or like, you know, really high level engineer to be so extroverted like you. It honestly doesn't happen often. And I think it's a very unique combination because it allows you to create this network, you know, where that you can tap into as you evolve. For you personally, what's the toughest part of the job?
I was actually talking to Shane about this the other day. The toughest part of the job is feeling like you're not doing anything. And like, that's also like, you're not doing the thing that got you here, right? Like when you're like a top engineer or whatever, the thing that got you here is making moves and shipping bunches of code and like doing that. For me to go to the next level, I can't be doing that. I actually have to be like multiplying my insights and intuition across the whole team so that thousands of lines of, if we're measuring based on code, thousands of lines of code are being generated. And oftentimes when people are like, when you got everyone in their cycles, right? Like you're doing it. You sit back and you're like playing chess. And then you think like, shouldn't I be doing some shit?
Yeah.
But you're really just puppet mastering this whole situation. And I always struggle. And then I start like new projects by myself. And then I get screwed because I stop watching all the things that I was watching. And then it's like this whole like...
Yeah. In my previous episodes, I've heard the same thing from founders, especially technical founders, you know, because at some point, your ability to write code is just not... Yeah. What's going to take your company to the next stage? You know, you have to do some other more strategic things. At some point, you will have engineers that are stronger than you.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, you don't want to undermine the product by committing your code to the. I mean, I'm not saying that, but it's like hypothetically, at some point, it's going to happen, you know? So,
what I do is I prototype what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll share like my prototypes and ideas with my team.
Yeah.
And I tell them that this code sucks, don't use it.
Yeah.
But at least I told you like where we're headed, you know. People need to feel like they own what they're building. Mm-hmm. Like if I wrote all the code and just threw it over the fence, like, here you go, bro. Then they would not have the same passion. Sometimes we solve the same problems twice. Once I solve it by myself and then like, so I know what to do, but I'll give the same problem so they can come to the same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they came to the conclusion and I'm the guy who is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How did you do that? But then, you know, but that's all like manipulation tactics that CTOs use. And so that's been working really well, like giving people ownership, right? Even, and, you know, if I don't trust them, I wouldn't give it to them. But I do trust all my people on the team, so it's pretty good.
So Maestro operates in, as you said, in this high level of uncertainty, right? The market is shaping up, like there's a lot going on. How do you and your team decide on the roadmap? How do you make those calls? Because you mentioned also relying on your intuition a lot. Is it a guessing game? Like, is there some signals from the market that you feel like, for example, people are requesting the same feature again and again, and that's how you know that it needs to be built? Or how do you make those decisions?
It's like a couple of pillars. So one, there's like net new that people are discovering. And that makes our way through news, white papers, et cetera. If it's relevant to us, then we start thinking about it in like how it works for us. So if there's new types of system prompt strategies that we look at, is it something that it should be built into the framework or is it be something that is just education? So that's like one level. We talk to users every day.
Mm-hmm.
Shane talks to users every single hour of every single day. And that helps us get all of our flaws, things that they like, you know, they roast us too. The users roast us all the time. And that turns into actionable stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Our Discord community roasts us all the freaking time. That turns into GitHub issues for us to do to make everything better. And then lastly, it's like we have this concept of bold bets. Mm-hmm. Because we've been reading about AI, we're like in this thing every day. There's just bold bets that we want to make that we have no evidence on. But our gut is like, yo, we should do this. And a lot of our bold bets have come to reality. Like, like the book was a bold bet.
Yes.
The conference is a bold bet. Us making a studio, like Monstro ships with a studio.
Yeah.
And you can play with your agents and stuff. We didn't want to do that because who wants that, right? That's what we were thinking. But it was a bold bet. Like, we don't know. We feel like it's right. Let's ship it.
Yeah.
So stuff like that.
And if you think about the book, if you stopped, like, let's say you wrote a book, you did a couple of activations, let's put it like mm-hmm. that, and then you would have abandoned that, it would not take off, right? Like, no. It took a lot of hard work to actually make it viral. So
it took a while.
I would say that it's not about being lucky, it's about creating luck, yeah. right? Like, you build the momentum for the book to become viral.
Yeah. We learned from Brad Flora at YC that generosity breeds luck. This is like saying, and it's actually one of our principles at Mastra too. Like, if you ever meet anyone from Mastra, I don't want to toot our own horn, but if you ask us for help, like, we would literally like just help you, like, because generosity is like our main thing. Obviously, maybe don't take advantage of us or whatever, but we will help. We will do whatever. You want to meet somebody, you want to hang out, like, you feeling bad, like, you want to talk to us, like, anytime, right? And that's been like another game changing difference, which is like, yeah, we're a little snide guys, you know, like, we're sarcastic, but like, if you want to actually talk, like, we're always here to talk. We're always mm-hmm. down to like break bread, and that's helped a lot too.
And I also wanted to comment on the user feedback, something you mentioned about Shane. He actually like reached out to us because we are using Mastra for our own things. And it's so refreshing to have one of the co-founders actually like send an email like, hey, how's it going playing with Mastra? Let's chat. Mm-hmm. It's just something that you don't come across often, and it feels very personal. You know, it's like, we're part of this collective as builders. We're trying to make something good happen. Let's help each other out.
Yeah.
You know? It feels very communal.
I didn't realize how vibrant the DevTools system or the community of builders here is in SF, right?
Yeah.
I met so many at the dinner you invited me to.
Yeah.
And then once you like, it's kind of like once you see something, then you start seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's after that dinner, I was just like, oh, you're working in DevTools? Oh, shit. All you guys are working in DevTools? It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The spectrum is very interesting. And because people make trips to SF for whatever reasons, they come from all over the place and they bring kind of like their cultures and new personalities to the table. It's very cool because if you think about SF, it's monotonous. It's the same type of person mm-hmm. everywhere, you know? But I feel like DevTools is just exciting now with AI because there's so much going on, and I see a lot of new blood also coming to the city, you know, younger folks moving and trying to build something. So it is very exciting. A couple of questions on the founder wisdom. So you're very deep in the AI space. You are in it building. If you were to advise somebody who wants to start something new, what do you think they should focus on? So we're talking about dev tooling, AI tooling, that space.
Yeah.
What are some niche kind of like things that are still missing?
I think vision, like vision models are an untapped potential. So for example, and we have friends that are doing vision stuff, but like the whole, no one talks about it. There's no, like, no one's amped about it. But I like, let me paint the picture for this dev tool, right? Yeah. I have a Ring camera.
Yes.
Right? I want to talk with my Ring footage. Why isn't that? Like, who's working on that? There are people working on that. But how come no one's talking about that?
Yeah.
Or you go to CCTV and you have like someone from the FBI. Hey, like, where did that fool get stabbed? You know?
Yeah.
I want that stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel there should be more of that.
Yeah.
You know? In other areas too, like asset generation, like images, videos and stuff.
Yeah.
They're like all the big models are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But where are the open source players, right? There are a couple, but I think that's just so exciting because those are the things that if you want to do something viral, make some video thing or like an image thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, it's like multimodal things, right?
Yes.
We've been so text focused this last year. Audio is becoming a thing with all the new, like, some products, but still, I feel audio is not here yet either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's interesting. If you're going to do RAG, you have to do RAG over a bunch of different shit.
Yeah.
You have to do RAG over a picture in the future. Those types of things. There's so much exciting things outside of text. So that's the AI stuff. On the regular stuff, couple things. How come there's no open source Netlify, Vercel, like, thing where you can just, like, bring your own AWS, and then you can just have like a nice UI that can do like deployments and rollbacks. You would think after 10 years of this shit, there'd be some like open deployment or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's another thing that I think that's missing. Like, because I don't know, it'd be cool.
I wonder how they would monetize it. Like the second they start monetizing it, they become yourself.
Yeah. So you have to be sadistic. You have to be like a person who like wants to just see the world burn and then just post the thing. Maybe I should build it, dude.
So outside of the technical stuff, mm-hmm. what would be your hardest earned advice for a young founder?
I feel like I've learned everything in my career the hard way, which is unfortunate. But yeah, a couple main lessons that I definitely appreciated. One was your trust is not in the company, it's in the people. You know, your company doesn't got your back. The people at the company do, you know. So you can't really assume that. You can't assume anything, you know. You have to like build relationships, make sure you're protected, etc. And that's like through like just bad company and stuff. If you don't act on your ideas, someone else is going to do them. And they're going to do it faster, better. And you can't be the person that said like, oh, I had that idea. Yeah, you may have had that idea. But you just didn't do shit about it.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone says, oh, we should do something, I always say like, when are we going to do it?
Yeah.
Well, like should is not in the vocabulary. Also like, I learned this the hard way too. Like, if you focus all on your work and your family and stuff, or sorry, your work and not your family or your friends and stuff, your work is going to suffer. Yeah. Maybe not today, but eventually it'll suffer. Eventually, your friends will stop asking you on Friday to come hang out. And then you're going to be done with that big release you had, or you shipped your thing. It's Friday, but no one hits you up. And then you're all sad and shit. Don't let that happen to you, because then you have to go build up friendships again. And that's also a big thing to do, right?
Yeah. So
I learned that those are rough.
Do you feel like you've learned from it? Like, do you mm-hmm. feel that now you're in a good space where it's balanced for you?
Yeah, just because I guess those learnings have become like prejudices now, or I can see the patterns and like it helps me out. For example, I don't hire people who are like celebrities or trying to be, you know? Because they're like, we'll be at your company only for what it's good for them. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of like the biggest revelation you got while at YC? Like, what was the thing you learned and you were like, that makes so much sense?
I have three things that were like, before YC, I was like a YC, like, who cares? I'm never going to go.
Yeah.
I'm from LA. I don't even, who cares about that? And then when we got in, I was like, I got to leave my home and come to San Francisco. Yeah. And I was talking to my co-founders. I was like, I bet you they're going to force us to move here after going through the whole thing, like shipping fast and shipping often, not being scared. I learned that. That was a great lesson. Like, just not be scared of, don't be embarrassed. Like, no one gives a shit about you. Like, why do people think we're like, who's looking at me? Like, no one cares, right? So that was one thing. Mm-hmm. Second thing is like having a community of people doing the same thing and like making like bonds with the people.
Yeah.
That was super nice, right? Because if we're all going to have to move here eventually, at least we got started with a social network that can keep like the day-to-day good. Doing all the fundraising stuff, like we already kind of knew how to do that, but it's still interesting to see how they're like what they tell you to do. And then on the last day of YC, there was a slide. They were like, the amount of successful companies that are in the Bay Area, like 99.99% outside the Bay Area, like 0.0 something. I started laughing. I like laughed out loud. And then the people around me like looked. I was like, I'm sorry. I just laughed because I was f-ing right, you know? They didn't tell us specifically, but that is exactly like what you say. And I remember being there, sitting there laughing, and I'm just thinking like, yeah, I guess I agree now. So they brainwashed me, dude. But not really. Like, I was thinking like, okay, that is probably correct.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to leave where like so much stuff is going on.
Yeah.
Can't leave now. And then we stayed around.
So. Are you enjoying SF?
I wasn't at first. But after a while, you start like just getting used to everything.
Yeah.
And you can respect the charms of the city. I wasn't leaving the dog patch for like and doing anything. And once I started doing that, I started discovering places and it's a cool city.
It is. Yeah.
No hating anymore.
I actually heard this thing that startups that stay in SF after YC raise twice as much, twice as fast.
I think that was on one of the slides. Yeah.
It probably was. What do you think Master is going to be like in 5 years?
Hopefully still alive. That's the first thing.
That's very low of a bar.
No, that's just you. That's the first thing I want to make sure that we're still alive. I think in 5 years, if our plans go right, the way we're envisioning them, we will be very ubiquitous when it comes to building agents, mm-hmm. both for technical and non-technical people, as well as like a lot of these like experimentations that are happening in the white papers.
Yes.
Or like new things that were only Python, like reinforcement learning, for example, things like that are now available to TypeScript developers and in Mastra. So mm-hmm. kind of just keeps expanding from there.
So we come to an end of this interview and my final question is always the same. It's called Warm Fuzzies question.
Warm Fuzzies.
And it goes like this. What makes you feel great about what you're doing today?
Every user that tweets at us or is in Discord that says that I didn't know what AI was, but now I built my first agent in 5 minutes and then now I'm going to build this next thing makes it all worth it. Doesn't matter about fundraising or anything like that. It's just users using your is definitely the best part.
Finally, I want to provide you the stage to invite people to try Mastra. How can they find it?
Yeah.
What are their first steps?
Go to mastra.ai. You'll see the NPM create Mastra and you'll get started.
Yeah, and read the books.
And read the books.
So you can do it well.
Yeah. Mastra.ai/book. Also, we have AI Agents Hour, which is our funny live stream on Mondays with Shane and I. We do a lot of education there. Mm-hmm. And then Thursdays, we do a workshop. So tons of things where you can see us.
So these are regular. They happen every week.
Every week.
Awesome.
Monday,
I should join one
Thursday.
Of those.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Thank you, Abby.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for catching yet another episode of Dev Propulsion Labs. We at Evil Martians transform growth stage startups into unicorns, build developer tools, and create open source products. If your developer tool needs help with product design, development, or SRE, visit evilmartians.com/devtools. See you in the next.